Francis, another company we've looked at quite frequently here at Future Creators is AT&T, and you wrote a compelling piece called The AT&T and the Information Surface Mess. How is this rearing its head again?
This is an amazing story because you would think that AT&T would be a high-tech leader, a leader in information, a leader in communications, a leader in understanding how you create, manage, and monetize an information surface. That's what Apple did. Apple simply created an information surface that inflated on the three cloud membranes, and we have videos at future-creators.com on all of those membranes, their interaction, and how you create, manage, and monetize an information surface connecting all three membranes. That's what Apple did, as I said. It's pretty straightforward, and you would think that AT&T, because of its long background in telecommunications, would be a leader in that space. Well, the first thing we noticed when we produced AT&T and Information Surface Mess is that AT&T had done absolutely nothing to create, manage, and monetize an information surface. Nothing at all. It didn't have an information surface. And in spite of this, they went out and they spent $66 billion on DirecTV. And another, I think, was $94, $95 billion on Time Warner. AT&T is now the most indebted non-financial in the world. And to fund the price of the C-band 5G auction, it just had to borrow another $14.5 billion without an information surface on which to make any of this work. It was absolute madness. And sure enough, we predicted a long time ago, AT&T's primary direction would be breakup. This is, we said, fish food for investment bankers. AT&T cannot be sustained in its current structure. Its balance sheet is terminal. It's roaring down crazy places like 5G that don't have a growth avenue and don't have business plans set up for them. And we know because we lead the world in doing that, and AT&T's not there, so we know that they can't do it. And recently, sure enough, AT&T was forced to begin the divestiture process, and it unloaded a third, 30% of DirecTV on the investment outfit TPG. But here's the deal. AT&T paid, as I said, $66 billion for this thing just over 5 years ago, actually almost 6 years ago now. And this deal values DirecTV at $16.25 billion. In other words, what you got here is something that is worth roughly 25% of what AT&T paid for it. This is an absolute disaster, but it gets worse. It gets incredibly worse. Back in the mid-90s, we published It's Debt Stupid about the communication service providers and how this was their number one, two, three, and four problem. And then if they didn't fix it, they would eventually become the Sears of their business. Well, AT&T's share price peaked at $60, July 16th, 1999. Today, it's worth less than half, 28. If you had invested in the Dow was around, I think, 11,000 at that time. The Dow is 31,000 today. AT&T went from 60 to 28. The losses to you in shareholder value are simply stupefying. What blows me away is that you hear nothing about this from AT&T's management. Wall Street's as silent as a church mouse. I see big, big problems, and this deal is the first indicator of massive disaster to come.
So we looked 20 years back at AT&T, and we look at where they're at today. I think it's hard to predict 20 years from now with the changing nature of telecom, but where do you see AT&T 20 months from now, Francis, in terms of the changes they're going to need to make?
Well, you know, my 20-year predictions have been pretty good, so I have no problems making a 20-year prediction. 20 years out, no problem for me. I do that. And incredibly, my track record is just crazy. And I think it's as good as it is because I just look at numbers. I'm not interested in sort of grand theories. I just look, here are the numbers, here's where they're going. This is what's going to happen to AT&T. It's all about the Moore and memory density curves and the rate at which cyberspace inflates. That's all. Those numbers are knowable, they're understandable. And what we have is a world of cyberspace inflation, so much larger than anything that AT&T can currently handle, that the structure of the telecommunications architecture and topology will have to shift. And I call this shift fractalization, where all these different pieces of the network operate like self-funded fractals with the same kind of dimensional symmetry and scalability that a fractal has. Now, these self-funded fractals, and one of our members is a company called OmniMesh, and we've mentioned them many times, has the technology to make this happen. This will alter the revenue flow to a company like AT&T. It will so alter it, I tell people this is going to be like the Mississippi River changing direction. And instead of flowing out to the Atlantic through the Gulf of Mexico, it flows out to the Atlantic through the Gulf of St. Lawrence. And in case nobody noticed, a huge part of that ecosystem is in somebody else's country. This is what's going to happen to AT&T. They have not adapted to fractalization. They have no information surface that they can quickly shift into the fractal space and profit from it. So as the information surface inside cyberspace is increasingly fractalized, AT&T's ability to make money will diminish. I've long since called AT&T the Sears of its business. It is the Sears of its business. It's being managed like the Sears of its business. It's not being managed like the Walmart of its business at all. You know, Walmart is simply a server with stores attached. Walmart gets the information surface part of this very, very clearly. Sears didn't, and Walmart's now the biggest company in the world, and Sears is, well, practically speaking, gone. And it's the same thing that happened to Kodak. Kodak simply didn't get what a Kodak moment really is in the smartphone era and just died. That's the problem with AT&T, and I think 20 months, 24 months, you're going to see some massive shifts in that operation.
To look back on some of the massive shifts in industry and to plan your future, join us as a member at future-creators.com. Thanks, Francis.
Thanks, Robert.